Less than a kilometre ahead, a ship swung into view, course converging on the Tigran ship. Insets on the viewport showed magnified enhanced images of a blunt-prowed vessel with no apparent insignia.
"Bring up partial shields," said Ash. "What's their weapon status?"
2 heavy beam projectors, 3 pulse cannons, a multi-missile battery and a well-shielded launcher of some kind," the helm officer said.
"Has to be an imbecile expedition of some sort," Ash muttered. "But with that firepower, they must have been expecting a rougher reception."
Greg had observed the unfolding crisis with an odd steadiness of nerve. Part of him was wishing he was back on Niviesta, safe in the shadows of Sigrana, while another part was, perversely, enjoying the edgy adrenaline thrill of it. And a further thread of thought was privately glad he wasn't the one giving the orders. He also recalled a little about the imbecile, one of several civilizations at the far side of the Havoon Deep Zone who had been on the receiving end of a hegemony punitive campaign several decades ago, a remorseless attack which had left several worlds near uninhabitable. Was it too much to imagine that they might come to see themselves on the same side as Darien?
"Incoming communication, Commander," said the tactical officer. "Full vid."
"Screen it," Ash said. "One way."
A frame appeared on the viewport, as well as the holo panel Greg was sitting at. A strange, hairless humanoid in white and grey garments gazed out. Its face was adorned with clusters of spots that changed colour as it spoke.
"I am Pre-Signifier Remusker. You have intruded upon the exclusion zone of a world currently under interdict by the imbecile mergents. Your vessel bears close resemblance to ones used by a certain mercenary cohort known to be contracted to the Sendrukan hegemony. Identify yourselves."
The picture vanished, revealing Darien, the hazy stars, and the approaching ship. Ash snorted in irritation.
"Hardly mercenaries."
He frowned at the now vacant monitor.
"If we try to convince them that we are actually the Ezgara and human as well, they'll assume that it's part of some devious hegemony plot. And if we then tell them that we're from a planet called Tigra, that'll make things worse."
The Tigran paused, eyes widening as he looked round at Greg. An odd smile came over him.
"Mr. Cameron, I have an idea."
"You do?" Greg said, with a sense of premonition.
"Yes, sir, although I'm not sure how you'll feel about it."
Ash grinned.
"But I'm sure that your uncle would approve."
"Does it involve life-endangering peril and heroic levels of deceit?"
"I regret to say that it does."
"Then what are we waiting for?"
Chapter 2. Catriona. The place they provided for her was a strange complex of interconnected shadowy halls, where blue glowing pillars rose up into darkness, where flowers sprouted from the walls, while pale gossamer mist hung in the air like great veils. It was meant to be a sanctuary for her essence, this disembodied spectre that she had become, and she came to think of it as the Dream Palace. In some ways, it was an attenuated version of the forest Sigrana, but it left her feeling ignored and redundant.